Okay, Genesis chapter 3 and Psalms 29. Genesis chapter 3 and Psalms 29. Genesis 3 verse 8. This is after Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord shows up for his daily time of walk with them. Genesis 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, if you're alert to that about man hiding from God, you can experience that in a different way. Knocking on doors, you'll have people won't answer the door. And out street preaching, you'll watch people where they'll do all they can to kind of get around it, or when they drive by you, they're looking at you like this. And then if you look at them, eye contact, they quick look this way. Men are fanatics of trying to hide from God, trying to hide from the truth. Okay, Psalms 29. Okay, in this psalm, the voice of the Lord, that phrase, the voice of the Lord, is found seven times. Psalms 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds the calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay, notice the time period when the Lord sitteth king forever. That's a demonstration of his voice. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize your voice. Help us to realize that you have given us a book that contains your mind about doctrine and certain events. And Lord, I pray you'd help us recognize that you speak to us through that book today. And help us to be alert to that and realize the spectacular thoughts of that book and how that book is hated by many, but yet it still stands true. Help us to be true to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve had the luxury of actually getting to walk with the Lord, talking back and forth. And a lot of times people think, well, you know, if I had that, you know, then I would do more things for God. No, you wouldn't. You'd do the same thing that you're doing now. But even at that, we would think that. Okay? And when I took the trip to Israel, people in Israel, when you take these trips to Israel, when you go to these certain sites, they'd read Bible verses and stuff like that. And these people would have this ooey gushy feeling coming over them, like, we are walking where Jesus walked. And then they have this attitude, if I was alive during Jesus' day, oh, I'd be so alert to the things of God. And that kind of made me sick when I see that attitude, because it wasn't the thing wasn't that you were walking where Jesus Christ walked. What was important is
the words that he preached while he was walking where he walked. That's what was vitally important. But if you and I heard God's voice verbally today, and the Lord, thank God, hasn't chose to speak verbally like he did in the past on occasion, because you and I'd be scared to death if we heard his voice in that fashion. If you would look in John chapter 12, here's when God speaks from heaven. And there is going to be a spectacular time when Jesus Christ will be speaking from heaven. But my advice is to avoid that time period. John chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus Christ is praying. He's praying audibly here. And he says in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it, said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him. Now, that's a spectacular thing. When people hear the voice of God, if it's not directed to them personally, it sounds like thunder. You would look, go back to Exodus chapter 20. Back in Exodus chapter 20, God spoke the Ten Commandments out verbally from heaven. Not 10 suggestions, 10 commandments. And can you imagine the judge that's going to stand before this God, the one that ordered to take the 10 commandments out of the courthouse down there in Alabama? And God says, you did what? And boy, isn't he going to say, and the Lord's going to say, I hold you in contempt, pal. You've said that time and time again, and by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You're in contempt. Go to hell. Boy, that's going to be something. Glad I'm not in that guy's shoes or in his dress or robe. Well, Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 is a response of people after they heard the voice of God speak forth the Ten Commandments. Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the voice of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now that's when the world hears God. It sounds like thunder. That's what it sounds like. Now, through history, now we're hitting around 6,000 years since Adam, God's words are made known in different methods, in different fashions. God, we know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, found in Hebrews 13, 18. But also in that same book, it shows that our God, who does not change, does change his methods of delivering out his words. I don't know why folks have such a hard time with that, but God is a God of variety. And not only does he change his methods of his words, he also changes the method that his grace is dispensed throughout ages. Now, if you would look in Hebrews chapter 1, and it shows that God speaks differently, and it also, if you read the words and believe what they say, shows that Hebrews is a time period that is much different than today. Hebrews 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now right there, I ought to stop right there and say, well, I haven't heard a voice of Jesus Christ in this age. Hadn't heard him any time. Not verbally. And this is talking about hearing Jesus Christ verbally, because Hebrews 12, 25 says that he's going to speak from heaven. Verbally. And they'll hear it down here. That ought to alert people about the book of Hebrews. But even at that, the idea is that God's words are given forth in various methods. Obviously, the most prevalent method is through a man's human voice or a woman's human voice or any person's voice. known as a prophet. In the Old Testament, God would tell his secrets to the prophets, Amos 3:7, and then they would go out and speak forth those things to either the Israelites or Judah, or like Jonah was sent to the Ninevites. And you see, that's how God's words were made known in the usual fashion, was through prophets, when the prophet would say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God says. Now, the Lord has chosen different methods. Now, a very general method where everybody has this method of receiving God's words. This is a pretty general way, and it's found in Psalms 19, and it's the creation itself. If you study the creation, you will find that God is the creator. An atheist is somebody who has to be educated into that belief. An agnostic, they have to be educated to come up with that thought. Anybody who gets out in the woods or deals with dirt or deals with plants or plants seeds realizes, hey, there's a God that did this. This did not just happen by chance. You know, to be an agnostic, you know, that's a funny way of saying I'm stupid. Gnostic means to know something. You put A in front of it, means you don't know anything. So when somebody says I'm an agnostic, why don't they just say I'm an ignoramus? It's an educated way of saying I'm dumb. You know, I had a lady tell me that down in Monon, you know, I'd knock on doors and she said, I'm an agnostic. I said, oh, does that mean you don't know anything about everything? She didn't like my definition and slammed the door in my face. That's what it means. Can you imagine going to a state university, paying, I don't know what they pay now, probably up to $80,000, $100,000, and when they get their diploma, they stand there piously and say, we have learned that we can know nothing for certain. Man, I would only charge them $10,000, teach them that. There are no absolutes in life. Are you certain? I am absolutely certain there are no absolutes in life. I mean, an agnostic or an atheist, you got to be educated to be like that. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, when you got the creation, it tells you about God. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, I'm sure most of us, when we were small, usually, hopefully, we did this when we were small, hopefully we're still not doing this, as where you get a piece of paper and you've got number 1 here, number 2 here, number 3 here, number 4 here, and then 5's down here and 6 up here, and you connect the dots. And you get a picture when you're done. Where did that idea came from? Well, it came from God. If you connect the dots of the Big Dipper, you will have a drawing. And prior to the flood, where we had the canopy around the earth, and that magnifying glass would magnify the stars, and if you study the stars or the astronomy aspect, not the astrology aspect, because that's a fallen star, and you don't want to wish upon that star, because that's a devil that fell, according to Revelation 9, but yet if you look at astronomy, you're going to see the gospel presentation in the sky. You're going to have Virgo give birth as a virgin, and you're going to have that sun who will crush a serpent's head. That's in the stars. And if you understand that, that is teaching Bible. That's what that's teaching. The creation teaches us about God. Psalm 19:2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Every day it's showing something. What? That the sun is coming up in the east, because Jesus Christ will enter into the land of Canaan from the east to the west. I mean, that teaches Bible. And it teaches that in the nighttime, the dark time, we have the dark ages from the 500 to about 1500 A.D. That's showing that the church age is a nighttime example, where you and I are portrayed as the moon, which gives forth the light of the Son of God. That's how we are to be. So creation tells us about Jesus Christ. Verse 3, it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven in a circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And then 7, 8, 9 makes direct reference to the written word of God. I don't care who in this world, everybody in this world has no excuse, knowing that there is at least a God that created this world. Not only that, God gets more specific individually. In Romans chapter 2, he's put a conscience in everybody. In Romans 2, verse 15, that conscience is alert, and that conscience tells us when we do wrong things. Romans 2, 15, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, usually, a man's conscience tells him that drinking liquor is wrong. Usually, that's what it is. The first time you drank liquor, I doubt you did it in front of your parents. If they are saved, I'm certain you didn't do it in front of your parents. Why not? Because your conscience told you that's wrong behavior. Now, if you grew up in a drunkard's home, that's different. Somebody is defiling your conscience. First time you smoke, don't tell me you did it in front of your parents. 9 times out of 10, you don't. Why? Because your conscience. A lot of times a parent can tell if the little ones are doing something wrong is because they get real quiet. What's going on? It's too quiet around here. Why are they so quiet? Their conscience is telling them what they're doing is not pleasing to their parents. Now, the problem with your conscience is that it can be defiled. It can be seared, and it can be quieted down. Another problem with your conscience is it doesn't tell you what's right to do. Everybody's got creation. Everybody's got the conscience as demonstration that, hey, there's a God, and that God wants you to draw close to him, and that God wants you to walk and talk with him. The third way God makes his words known is through prophets, like I mentioned already. That's the majority way. And that's when you preach forth the words of God, is you are declaring the words of God, thus saith the Lord. When I'm on a street corner, you know, I'm asking the Spirit of God to give me the words to say. Bible verse comes ahead, and so then I just quote it. And that's the Spirit of God. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says, usually if we're standing by the packaged liquor store down there in Rensselaer, usually when somebody walks in, the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And boy, that goes out, and boy, that thing does damage, and you can see the reaction of people. What is that? That's trying to tell them you need to change your behavior. Your behavior is sinful. You know, there's a video store behind us where it's to stand at the light. Usually it's the verse coming to mind, somebody walking in, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You see, that's how the prophets would do it in the Old Testament. They would speak at the sin of people. Another way the words of God were made known in the Old Testament, and probably still today when people don't have written revelation, is Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. It's through dreams and visions. The Lord did this in many times in the Old Testament and on occasion in the New Testament, and he probably still does this. I'm not saying that if you have a dream that that's God speaking to you. It could be, it couldn't be. It could be the devil. It could be bad pizza. You know, you're not certain what it is. The Lord can use your dreams to try to get you to do something, but the devil can also use dreams to get you to do something. Numbers 12, verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. Okay, another way God made his words known, and this is a rare occurrence, but he did do it on a few occasions in the Old Testament, is when he sent an angel down there personally. Daniel 10, Genesis chapter 19, before he blew Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. You know, and, you know, isn't it amazing how these queers are getting so much domination in this country? Ozzie Guillen says the word faggot. I know that's what the word he said. What's so bad about that? If he said honky, would he have to take sensitivity training? In Europe, fag means cigarette. Why? You burn a fag. Why? That's what God did in Genesis 19. You put the stick in a fireplace. That sees how far we're coming. When an athlete can apologize, or a coach can apologize for talk like that, I would apologize. I would have laughed in their face. And then if they would have made a big issue of it, I said, okay, here's a male outlet cord, here's a male outlet cord. Put them together, you get no light. Your light's been blown out. But it's a shame. You know what? It's a shame that this day and age, on the radio broadcast, I usually have a current events or some newsworthy event. And it seems there are three hot topics in the last years. I've noticed it going this way, and it's always coming up. Sodomy's number one. The press is always bringing this up. Muslims are number two. And abortion is number three. If you get the sword of the Lord, they'll have newsworthy events on page two. And I've noticed the last 2 years, almost every other one is either sodomy, abortion, or Muslims. That's where this country's heading. It's a sign of judgment on our nation. And it's not I like to bring those things up. If you don't say something, if you don't alert people. I heard a guy on my softball team say, well, I'm not a homophobe. I'm thinking, get a life. You know, I get around these guys, I'll say it every once in a while just to tweak them. Now he's a faggot. They'll look at me like, I can't believe you said that. I said, that's what they are. You know, I am a homophobe. I can't help it. I was born this way. You know, if they're born that way, I'm born this way. I was born straight. But it's a crazy thing that we have to say something like this. I don't like to talk about those things in front of children. It's none of their business. They're too young. Keep them innocent. Keep them pure. But that's the day and age we're living in. But another way God gets his words known is through angels. Now, Jesus Christ said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I've never heard Jesus Christ's voice, not verbally. It also says in John 18:37, Jesus Christ said, he that is of God, or John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. You hear them not because you're not of God. We got to hear God's words. Jesus Christ said in John 18:37, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, it's an interesting thing. If you run that word voice throughout the Bible, you're going to find it, the voice of the Lord, Genesis 3, voice of the Lord, Psalms. You're going to find the voice of the Lord throughout the Old Testament. You're going to find Jesus Christ saying it in the Gospels. But you know what? You don't hear Paul ever writing about it. Paul does not write about the voice of the Lord. And then you'll hear, you see it picked up again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3:15. You'll see it picked. Why is that? There's a reason for that. And the reason why Paul is silent about that is because he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. Well, what's faith? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. But you see, human beings have a strange affinity towards the spectacular. I had an angel appear to me. So what? Everybody, you see, everybody wants to have this spectacular thing to happen to them instead of, oh, I read this in the Bible and God told me to do this because I read this in the Bible. You did? You mean you just read it in the Bible? Yeah. Well, how do you know that's God speaking? Because it's God's words? Yeah, but I had. What did you have? I mean, I've heard stories after stories. I had a lady one morning after Sunday morning service. She went and talked to me. She said, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? I saw a silhouette of Jesus on the ceiling when I was in my bed. You know, you want to start laughing, but I didn't. And she said, what do you think? I said, I think you saw a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling. Well, what does that mean? Well, I said, I suppose it means that Jesus' silhouette was on your ceiling. No, I think it meant that I was special. I thought, yeah, probably so. Everybody wants to be special. Hey, you're special because Jesus Christ died for you. Isn't that good enough? You're unique because you have your only fingerprints like yours. Nobody else got them. Isn't that enough? People say, well, I'll believe God if he comes down and talks to me, you know, personally. Why should he waste the time? He's got the creation. He's got your conscience. And he gave you a book. What more do you want? People always want the spectacular. You know, oh, this happened to me. You know, Mary has been showing up all over the place. I mean, she's got frequent flyer miles now. Got a big flashlight. Everywhere she shows up, she's got a big flashlight. You know, she's down in Kentucky, then she's down in Georgia, then she's up in Milwaukee, you know, then she's over there in Fatima, then she's down in Guadalupe. You can't keep up with the woman. Mary's been up in heaven. She stayed there since she'd been resurrected. She ain't come down since. There's a devil that's been showing up, portraying itself as Mary. But you see, all these apparitions, you know, well, angels, you know why young people are kind of gravitate towards Satanism now? Spectacular. Seances. Ooh. Big deal. You know, devil talked to me. So? Talks to me quite regular. It's like a fellow one time, this old guy was sitting in the front pew, church was packed out, and the devil walked in. Man, everybody hightailed out of there. The devil saw that old guy sitting up there, and he's the only one sitting there. The devil walks up, sits right beside him. He said, you know who I am? He said, yep. He said, aren't you scared of me? Nope. He said, how come? Married your sister. Now, there's something to that. But you see, everybody's wanting these visions. I saw this, I saw that. Hey, if they want the spectacular, just hang around. Reject Jesus Christ. You'll hear a big noise. Think World War III broke out. And you will see some of the most spectacular things you'll ever see in your life. It'd be like the atheist who was out fishing one time. He's out there fishing, and all of a sudden the Loch Ness Monster comes out and grabs him by the throat and starts waving around like this, and the guy's yelling, oh God, help me, oh God, help me. And God speaks from heaven, I thought you didn't believe in me. He said, well, I didn't believe in this a few minutes ago. But you see, everybody's looking for the spectacular. What's going to happen in tribulation that's going to be spectacular? Worldwide demonism? Worldwide appearances of giants showing up? Worldwide appearances of angels showing up? You're going to have two fellows, Moses and Elijah, who's going to say, hey, Chicago, if you don't get right, your water's going to turn to blood. Water turns on the spigot, there's blood. You're going to have a red dragon show up in the sky. It ain't going to be Godzilla and King Kong, man. It's going to be the real thing. And he's going to show up in the sky, and they're going to have Mike on a big war up there. You talk about spectacular. And what's going to happen? Most of them are going to ignore it. Going to die and go to hell just like anybody else. Now, my advice is avoid the wild and spectacular. People say, well, if somebody come back from hell, they'll be more likely to listen. No, they ain't. Look in Luke chapter 16. We got across this CD recently where this guy died and said he went to hell and described it. He's in hell for I don't know how many minutes. He said, you believe it? I doubt it. Especially when I know he's going through all these charismatic churches telling about his experience. You say, well, that'd be more convincing. Not according to the Bible. Luke 16, if you would look in verse 27. The storyline is the rich man Lazarus. The rich man is in hell. Lazarus is over on the side of the righteous. This is before Calvary, and so when people died, they went down. And now the rich man, he was concerned for his family. Didn't want them to come to hell where he's at. Luke 16, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. I find it interesting. What's he calling him father for? So when that began, back in Judges 17, some priest showed up and he was a father to somebody. Well, he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, yeah, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Spectacular. Ain't going to convince most of them. I don't care if he went to hell and back. I mean, the person had the greatest experience, the most spectacular thing ever known to man, that was legitimate, that was scriptural, was a fellow named Simon Peter up at the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. When he witnessed Jesus Christ being transfigured, portraying the second coming of Christ, and he heard the voice of God speak from heaven, and then he wrote about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he said, he told about that experience, and he said, I got something better than that. What's that? That book. That book right there. You see, why? It's because the devil can heal. The devil can counterfeit everything God has. The devil can counterfeit a dream. The devil can send an angel down. Fallen angel. Look like a real angel. The devil can do all these things. And it'd be a counterfeit. But boy, when you got a counterfeit Bible, you can lay it side by side and see the real from the false. Now, Jesus said, he that is of God heareth God's word. You hear them not because you're not a God. And when you start praying, that's you're speaking to God. But while you're praying or while you're going throughout your daily activity, when a Bible verse comes to mind, who's speaking to you? That is identical to you getting a walk with Jesus Christ like the disciple for 3.5 years. When that Spirit of God takes a Bible verse and puts in your mind at a particular moment of the day, that's God speaking to you. That's spectacular. That's a God who spoke this world into existence. And if you're getting ready to commit a sin or you're debating about a sin and a Bible verse comes to mind, that's the Spirit of God trying to deter you from that sin. You say, when you mean to tell me every time a Bible verse comes to mind, that's, you know, the God? No, not every time. Because the devil can take a Bible verse and misapply that. Because when a water dog gets up and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, that ain't God telling him to say that. That's the devil misapplying something. But that's God. Now, look if you would in your Bible in John chapter 14. Jesus Christ told the disciples this. And this is how we grow in grace. There's going to be a lot of times where you do not get something out of the Bible. Young people sit there and hear you preach and they don't get anything out of it at that particular moment. There's going to be time they will. The Spirit of God works on that. A lot of times after, you know, during this, like later in the week, Brother Garcia called me up or else sometime during the week, what was the title of the message? And of course I hesitate. What did I preach about? Then I ask him, and then I look in his eyes and I see like deer looking in headlights. I forgot. You said, is that discouraging? Not at all. Why? Because I know it's the Spirit of God that takes that word and puts it in a man's heart. And it's the Spirit of God that's going to take that same word and pull it out when he wants you to have it. Jesus Christ did it that way. John 14, 26. By the way, it's the voice of the Lord. Don't have to ask this. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now this is demonstrated by the Lord with Simon Peter. If you would, look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 is the Simon Peter's testimony of seeing Cornelius. And before Cornelius and them Italians knocked on his door, God gave him a vision about unclean animals. He had a picnic, you know, there. And he said a sheep came down, all these unclean animals, you know, he had roadkill and everything, you know, rattlesnake, fried rattlesnake, everything all on that thing. And he said, Pete, eat one of those things. Peter said, I ain't going to eat that. It looks sick. And three times that thing came down, and I don't know if he ate or not. He was told to. But after that third time, that thing went back up, that vision went away. Right then, an Italian knocks on his door. And Peter opens that door. Now, before he had that vision, he would have said, what are you doing here, you wop? So that's what he probably would have. Them Jews don't like us Gentiles. Those Jews look at you and I like we're a bunch of dogs. And for you to take food from a dog's dish, for them to steal from you is no different. How do you know that? I was there. You got to watch them like a hawk, man. When you get change, make sure you know that money quickly. Because they will steal from you like nothing, and it's not even a sin in their mind. Why? Because you're a dog. I'm a dog. It's not a sin to take food from a dog. And that's how they view us. Well, after Simon had that vision, here we got some Italians there, and they said, you need to come over to our house. Okay. He goes over there and he's telling this guy the gospel story. He's telling him how to be saved. And old Simon's getting ready to say, because it's all he knew, he's getting ready to say, repent and be baptized, one of you. And before he said that to those Gentiles, the Spirit of God came down and put those guys in a body of Christ. Acts 11 is Simon Peter's understanding of that. Acts 11:14, he says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That's Acts 2. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how that thing works. And when a Bible verse comes to your mind, that's God speaking to you. Take it as that. And then talk back to him. Lord, what about that verse? Why did it come to mind? Lord, what are you trying to show me with that? You see, maybe if you're going through some tough times, the Lord will bring some comforting verses to mind. Like 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. Comfort them by these words. What? About what words? About heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. And those words come to mind when you're going through a tough time. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost coming down right into you personally, one-on-one, and trying to comfort you with those words. When he gives you some Bible doctrine, that's the Spirit of God. When you're reading a Bible passage, you say, Lord, what about this? And another Bible verse comes to mind, that's the Spirit of God teaching you what that book says. When you're on a street corner preaching, you know, I ask the Spirit of God, give me the right words, give me the right verses. You know, verse comes ahead, so out the mouth it goes. Because that's the Lord speaking through you. If you're having a tough time with certain sin or certain besetting sin, okay, memorize Bible verses against that sin. And when you're tempted with that sin, those verses will come to mind, and that's the Spirit of God convicting you or trying to strengthen you so that you will not yield to temptation. Old Charles Hood, he had a problem with smoking. So he told me, he said, I memorized Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, whenever I thought about smoking that cigarette, I quoted that verse, and he said, the urge went away. He said, I quit smoking. How? By Philippians 4:13. What was that? That's God helping him along the way. And you see, we don't need some spectacular thing. We've got a spectacular book, and that's something in itself. And the more time we spend in that book, the more time we spend in the mind of Christ, and then the more the Lord will use that book to change us into his image. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners,
nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, so you memorize a Bible passage, you're getting it in your head. When you go to Bible school, a lot of times you're getting it in your head. When you do some Bible study, a lot of times you're getting it in your mind. But now when you got it in your mind, now it's your job through the Spirit of God to get it down in your heart. And you do that by meditating on it, and you do that by fellowshipping with God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Knowing the Bible in your head is good, but if you don't get it in your heart, it's not going to do you much good. It's going to be a mechanical thing. It's going to be the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is the Holy Ghost coming right through that blessed book. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Now, the first audible voice that you're going to hear is the only occurrence that Paul writes about the voice of the Lord. And the only occurrence is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You know, Fanny Crosby, she was fortunate in that the very first person she saw was her Savior. Being blind as an infant, the first person she saw was Jesus Christ. You know the first audible words that you're going to hear of Jesus Christ is, come up hither, and your name. See, I don't believe in a rapture. You're going to have a pleasant surprise. We're not told to look for the Antichrist. We're told to look for the blessed hope. You see, Enoch got raptured out before the flood. And so the rapture is a mysterious thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's why it's called a mystery. 1 Thessalonians 4, the second coming of Christ is not a mystery. You say, well, people don't believe in it. Hey, that don't matter. Don't matter. You say, what if you're wrong? I'll figure that out later. I ain't worried about it. You say, what if you're right? You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's a real blessing. The first voice you're going to hear of God, audible voice, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day. Hear that voice. But you see, one reason why you memorize what this book says as much as you possibly can, and then you meditate on that through work, through your job, is the Spirit of God wants you to have daily fellowship with Him. And God is speaking to you just as clear through this book as the disciples heard Jesus Christ speak to him audibly. Just as clear. And the spectacular thing about it is that this blessed book, which is an eternal book, and that eternal God who spoke this world into existence by this book is still willing to speak to you and I personally through this book. And when you get something from this book, talk to God about it and ask him to explain it. And you talk to God through prayer, but he talks to you through this book, and that's how you have a daily, moment-by-moment fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that book becomes so real to you, and your Lord and Savior becomes so real to you that you will even catch yourself talking to him when people around you say, oh, sorry about that. You don't need to be bashful about that, about talking to Jesus Christ when people are around. Talk to everybody else, talk to him. Nothing shameful about that at all. You see, where we began with this thing is that the salvation began because somebody took this book and showed you what it said. I don't think anybody in this room had a salvation experience like Saul. Yours is probably similar to mine. Somebody just took this old book, showed you what it said about Jesus Christ, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So if that's how you got your start, that's how we continue to grow. Same way. Blessed book. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize that when we get Bible verses come to mind, that is an eternal God using His eternal words, helping us in our temporal state, and also helping us in our eternal destination, our walk with Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to look forward to the day to recognize, hear the blessed voice of the archangel, come up hither. Lord, the sooner the better. But Lord, until then, I pray You'd help us to walk with You like Enoch did. Walk with You. And walk with You through Your blessed word. Our heads bowed and eyes are closed. The instruments play. The altar's open if you need it. The reason why this book is attacked so much is because the devil knows that this is how God speaks to us. So if he can mess up the communication, he could mess up your fellowship. And God's going to speak to you in the common language of today, the world's universal language, fast becoming in English. Thank God He has a perfect book in English. And this book is how God speaks to you. Lord, like Simon Peter said at one time, Lord, You asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And then You turn around and ask them, who do You say I am? And Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ. You have the words, the everlasting words. Lord, we know that. And Lord, I do pray You'd help us realize that when you speak to us through Your written word, bringing verses and passages of Scripture to mind, that's God talking to us. And Lord, I pray You'd help us recognize that voice and a walk and talk with Thee and have daily and every minute communication, conversation, and fellowship with Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.